This is Brother Gino once again for another broadcast of the Pastor's Study. Well, it's certainly a blessing to have each and every one of you listening to the Pastor's Study today. And today what I'd like us to look at is to help each other as Christians on how to vote. How to vote. What candidates should we vote for? In the United States, we have the privilege of voting as citizens, amen? And oftentimes people ask me, well, who are you going to vote for? What I want to do is to be able to give you, according to the Word of God again, how you should judge candidates. If you use the Word of God as your final authority, it'll help you in everything. And that's on picking which candidates to vote for. Amen? So we're going to look at, we'll begin the pastor's study in just a moment on how to vote, how to choose candidates, amen? But as we always do, let's go to the Lord for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've given us this great opportunity to go over this radio station, WGCR in Pisgah Forest, North Carolina. We thank you for the kind folks of the radio station and the ministry at Anchor Baptist Church and their pastor, Pastor Barton, and his family, Lord. Father, we thank you for the World Wide Web. We pray that we know that over the World Wide Web, it's devils using it for evil, but God, we can also use it for good. And Father, I pray that your word would go forth today on the pastor's study and not return void. There's a heart that must be touched today. There's a Christian that may need to be encouraged today. There's someone who's lost in their sins. Father, we pray that the power of your word would affect each and every one of us as the Holy Spirit sees fit. Father, and if there is a lost soul listening to this broadcast, we pray that this would be the day that they'd realize that they're a sinner, and because of their sins are on their way to hell, but they'd call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save them, repent of their sins, and ask Jesus to save them, to have their sins forgiven and washed away, and have a home in heaven reserved for them for time and eternity. Father, now, we ask your blessing upon our time today, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. First of all, I want to talk a little bit about government. According to the Word of God, government is ordained of God. It's one of the institutions, amen, that he has established. We know that first he established the institution of marriage in the Garden of Eden. And then we see that he instituted the government, amen. He gave man government over there in Genesis chapter 9. And of course, the third institution that God established, not only the family and government, but also the church. Civil government is a divine appointment for the interests and good order of human society. That magistrates are to be prayed for, conscientiously honored and obeyed, except in things opposed to the will of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the only Lord, who is the only Lord of the conscience in the coming King. I want us to look at some verses in Scripture that talk about government. Amen. First, I want us to turn over to the book of Romans. And I want to take our time in our study today, and we may not finish, but we can continue on in another time. But I want us to see this. I want us to learn from this, from the Word of God. Praise the Lord for the Word of God. Look at in Romans chapter 13 with me for a moment. Romans chapter 13. The Bible tells us, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, For there is no power but of God. The powers that be ordained of God. And of course, we're talking about civil authority here in our passage, amen? God has ordained it. The only reason it exists is because of God. Verse 2 in Romans chapter 13. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. So when you resist the civil authority, amen, of course, when it's, as long as it doesn't go counter to God, amen. But when you resist that, you're resisting God, because he ordained that civil authority. And as a result, you're bringing damnation upon yourself. Verse number 3 of Romans 13. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. See, God has given us authority, civil authority. They are ministers of God, not to do evil, but to do good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. In other words, if you do something against the authority, amen, against the laws of the land, be afraid, because the authority is given, carries a sword. He carries a sword not in vain, in other words, not for any reason, amen. He carries it for a specific reason, to punish those who disobey the government. A revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. That's why the authority carries the sword, to execute judgment, wrath upon those who do evil. Wherefore, verse 5, you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. In other words, you should be submitted to civil authority, to government, not only because if you don't, you're going to get whacked, amen, you're going to get hit with that sword, but also it's the right thing to do, according to what God has to say. For this cause, Romans 13:6, for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. In other words, you like to get your roads paved, amen, and I know up here in the north we like to get, especially during the winter time when it snows, our streets and our highways plowed and salted and sanded, amen. Well, we're to pay taxes. That's what taxes go to maintain the roads and the building, the town halls, the city halls, the post offices, and so forth and so on, amen. And, of course, those civil servants, as they're called, have to be paid also. Also, we want to look at a First Peter. It's good to look at different verses, not just one verse in the Bible. When you're studying a subject out, be it government or whatever it is, you want to see what the Word of God says, not just in one place, but wherever it appears, amen. 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter, in chapter number 2, we want to look at verses 13 through 16. Again, the Word of God says, we see the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote in Romans about government, and here we have the Apostle Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for punishment of evildoers and for praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God. It's a will of God for you to submit to civil authority. Amen. For the Lord's sake. For so is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. We have liberty in Christ. Amen. But we're to obey civil authority as long as it doesn't go against God, the will of God. For a testimony to non-believers, amen. You know, what kind of a testimony would it be if you didn't pay your taxes, amen? It's a lousy testimony to the unsaved, amen? Turn with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. In 1 Timothy chapter number 2, we want to look at verses 1 and 2. You know, you often hear people say, well, I don't know what to pray for. What should I pray for? Or whom should I pray for? Well, here's the direct will of God for your life on one area of prayer. 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse 1 and 2. Paul says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. All men. All government officials. No matter how crooked they are, amen. For the kings and for all that are in authority. You know, maybe the reason your country or your state or your city or your town is messed up is because you haven't been getting down on your knees enough in praying for that person that's in authority, amen? You know, we need to pray for our firemen and our policemen, amen? They have a thankless job. They put their life on the line each and every day to protect us, amen? For kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Maybe the reason there's so much unrest in this country is we're not praying for our authorities, for those in leadership, amen? Because it says here, if we do that, then we will lead. One of the reasons for praying for our leaders, for those in authority, is so that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Let's continue on. Let's look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 22. In Matthew chapter 22, let's look in verse number 21. And of course, this was the account of where they're trying to catch Jesus, amen, trying to get him in a situation. And they're basically asking him, does your master pay tribute? Or what thinkest thou of tribute? And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 22, but Jesus perceived their wickedness. He knows what they're leading up to. They're trying to catch him. Catch him in a lie or catch him in something to get him in trouble. And said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought him a penny. And he said unto them, whose is this image and superscription? Who's on this coin that you brought me? They said unto him, Caesar. Then he saith unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God. Amen. Pay your taxes. Amen. Jesus is saying, Render unto Caesar. Render unto the government what is the government. Amen. But render unto God what is God's, Jesus was saying. Now, let's turn over to the book of Acts for a moment. Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, we'll be looking at verse 29. And of course, here Peter and some of the other apostles were beaten, were thrown into jail, amen, for preaching Jesus, amen. And this is how they answered. Then answered Peter and the other apostles, answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. Amen. They told him, You can't be preaching Jesus. You're causing a problem. They said, Well, in this case, we're going to obey God rather than civil authority. Amen. This is a case, amen, where government was doing something against the will of God. Then we see in Acts chapter 4, again we see the preaching in the name of Jesus is forbidden by the authorities. And we see, but Acts chapter 4 and verses 19 and 20. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. In other words, they were saying the authorities could not forbid them from preaching in teaching in the name of Jesus, prevent them from what they had seen and what they had heard. In that particular case again, the authority, the government, was going against the direct will of God. So we've seen so far in on the pastor study right now, we see that government is ordained of God. Amen. We're to pray for our leaders, for those in authority, to respect government as long as it doesn't go against the will of God. Amen. We're to pay our taxes. Amen. We're to lift up in prayer our civil authorities, those in leadership. Amen. Now we want to turn now and we talk about issues. You'll hear the candidates, those that are running for whatever public office it may be, talk about issues. And of course, society today says, well, you know, what a person does is their own business, the moral stuff. But the Bible has a lot to say about moral issues. And when we're sizing up the candidates, yes, by all means, moral issues are very important. Why? Because it's important to God. It should be important to you. Amen. See, a lot of times, folks, even Christians, will vote their pocketbook and not what the Bible has to say. Well, this particular candidate's going to put more money in my pocket. Well, that may be all well and good, but he may drag this country down, or your state, or city or town, a few more rungs down the moral ladder. Amen. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter number 14. And verse 34. Proverbs 14, verse 34. righteousness, the Bible says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Well, one key on who to vote for is this. According to the Word of God, the Bible directs you to vote for leaders who encourage and elevate righteousness in our country, in your state, in your city or town, amen, and oppose those candidates who encourage and elevate unrighteousness or sin. One such sin would be the sin of sexual perversion or homosexuality. It's always an issue, the homosexual issue. There's a movement afoot in this country to treat homosexuality, sex perversion, as a normal lifestyle. There are those that would like to recognize same-sex marriage and give the same status and benefits as heterosexual marriages. And you know what? Some states have already done it. Congress opposed it, and the president signed it under great pressure, amen? What does the Bible say? God destroyed Sodom for their open practice of homosexuality. Look at it in Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. Let me say this. As a Christian, remember, you're to love the sinner, but hate the sin. That's what God would have you to do. God would have you love the sinner, but hate the sin. Genesis chapter 19. Let's see what the Word of God has to say. I don't care what Time magazine or People magazine has to say. What does the Word of God have to say, Christian? You need to spend more time in the Word of God. I need to spend more time in the Word of God. We all do. We need to get rid of some of those magazine subscriptions, amen? They're time wasters. Chapter 19. We're told in the Lord, in verse 24, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And we know that the reason for that was the land was full of Sodomites. God's law, God's holy law, forbids homosexual acts. Look in Leviticus. Leviticus. And I know some of you out there listening are going to say, well, you've been in the Old Testament, but just give me a minute. We'll go to the New Testament. Things haven't changed. Amen? Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. We got to remember now, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of homosexuality before the law. Now, under the law, it still continues that it's forbidden. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. A man is not to lie with another man as a man would lie with a woman. And a woman is not to lie with a woman as she would lie with a man. It's as simple as that. In fact, under the Old Testament law, if someone committed an act of homosexuality, it called for the death penalty. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13. Leviticus 20, verse 13. If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Capital punishment. Now, let's go. So we've seen God's prohibition, hates homosexuality, before the law, under the law. Now look under grace. We're in the age of grace. Let's go to the Pauline epistle, 1 Corinthians, so we can see this. 1 Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians, in chapter number 6, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. The effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, homosexualities, homosexuals, sex perverts, sodomites. Amen. Romans chapter 1, homosexuality is pictured as being at the end of the road. It is the lowest level of human depravity. The stages of Gentile apostasy are clearly set forth. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Listen to this now. Romans 1, verse 21. Because they, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither was thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, then became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, unfooted beasts, creeping things. The results of knowing God, rejecting God, worshiping the creation instead of the Creator. We read, wherefore God has also given them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use in that which is against nature. Verse 27, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense. Again, homosexuality. Homosexuality in a nation, when it's prevalent, is on the last rungs of their society. So what does this tell us? Amen. Support candidates against homosexual lifestyles. Support families. Support those candidates that support family, because God ordained the family, the institution of family. Jesus was a supporter of the family. Amen. Jesus was a supporter of the family. In the 19th chapter of Matthew, Jesus said, and he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he made them at the beginning, made them male and female? And he said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. We're going to continue our study on how to vote next time when we meet on the pastor's study. This is Brother Gino saying, may God richly bless you, is my prayer, and good day.